Hello, my beautiful bestie. How are you doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose. I am, as always, doing much better now that I see your face.
How's your day going so far?
Well, I just have to say, our outfits are incredibly coordinated.
Oh my God,
right now.
I didn't even.
We are wearing our Mayfair sweatshirts.
That we got each other at separate times.
Yep.
So I'm wearing the one that you got me for my birthday, and you're wearing the one I got you for your birthday. That's hysterical.
It's so hysterical. Even more hysterical, though, I impulsively changed right before I got on to record with you. And I saw when you sat down that you were wearing yours. So I quickly ripped off my shirt and put it back on.
No, you didn't.
I did. Oh, I was wearing something completely different about 3 minutes ago.
I didn't even notice.
I know. And your sweatshirt says empathy on the front.
It sure does.
And
I forget.
Rainbow.
What does yours say again? It's on the back.
Yeah. So it says Mayfair on the front, which is the brand. And again, happy to be a sponsor for you all. You need us more than we need you. And on the back, it says in beautiful, colorful lettering, you deserve to be happy.
That's why.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And when I wear it, pretty much every day, I get compliments on it all the time.
Really?
I do. People are like, oh my God, that shirt is amazing. I'm like,
oh my God,
it is, and
that.
It's true. You deserve to be happy.
You deserve to be happy. I love it. I apologize for anyone that has sensory stuff like I do. I have a lozenge in my mouth right now, and it's definitely obnoxious, but I'm just going to finish it. I'm not spitting it out. So
don't spit it out.
Apologies in advance for anyone that can hear that.
You're so thoughtful and mindful, and you deserve to finish your lozenge.
I do. But I love that we're wearing it. I love
Me
that
too.
It says that. And you do deserve to be happy.
So do you. We
it's
all do.
It's so great to see you. Happy recording day, as always.
Yes.
I know we have a really jam-packed agenda for today.
We do.
What are we taking on?
We are taking on, as requested, the fourth trimester. Mm-hmm. Such a good one.
It's such a good one. We got so much feedback following our labor and delivery episode, and shockingly, honestly, from a lot of second-time moms,
mm-hmm.
or moms of multiples, versus we got some like who were pregnant or even who weren't having children and were scared, and it made them feel more seen and heard and like at ease, which that was absolutely the goal. Mm-hmm. But a lot of non-first-time moms who reached out, and you know, as we learned from our beautiful bestie Brianna, who we're gonna have back on the pod soon, you got to pay attention to the data and to what people are saying. So you spoke, we listened, and we're back to bring
it to
the next chapter, which is the fourth trimester,
and we're paying attention, mm-hmm. which is so important. And also requested birth stories, which I love too.
Yes.
So we're going to get into that as well.
I love that. I could not get enough of people's birth stories before having my first.
Same.
And it's definitely something I don't think about often, because it's kind of like almost like planning a wedding, right? It's like leading into it, you're just digesting everything you can and just devouring anything you can about it. And then once you have your own.
Yes.
In my experience, I'm like, okay, I know what to expect. I don't know, but again, listening to what others are saying, it's like, oh, right. But there might be people who want to hear about that. And there is. So
right.
That would be another extension of this.
Yeah, I love it. I think there's such a niche for it. And again, we're listening to the data and to all of the feedback in the vein of emotional vaccination.
That's right.
Just so good. So my two truths, no lies today kind of connects to the fourth trimester in a weird way.
Okay.
So do you want to share your two truths, no lies first, unless yours also connects?
It does, but it's fine. Let's just both. I'll go first this time. No problem.
Okay.
And I know I said I'm going to keep my lozenge in, but it's not possible.
Well, do you want – how about you finish your lozenge and I'll go?
Okay, that's great.
Okay, great. Okay, so my two truths, no lies today is a reflection back, but also a forecasting forward, which I think is an all-encompassing fourth trimester theme too. So a couple of weeks ago, we were driving into Brooklyn to see my brother-in-law for his birthday. And as we were driving in, I saw like a bunch of girlfriends walking down the street in New York, like probably going to, you know, a cool place to have a drink before they go to dinner. And then I also saw another group of girlfriends like going out for a run together on the West Side Highway. And it just, I was looking out the window. My boys had their story time podcast playing. So I was able to kind of like zone off a little bit. And it hit me with two truths, no lies coming from observing all of that. You have permission to grieve the old and what used to be. And I thought about all of the times when I was the girlfriend walking with my group of girls with no responsibility in the world, heading to brunch or going out for a run. And you have permission to befriend the new at the same time and not wish you could be anywhere else but in the here and the now, but seeing people in different phases and stages really made me miss those times that I had, and that all of it is okay to feel.
I love that. I think I was on mute because of my hostage. So you probably think I'm crying because it's emotional, but I'm actually,
she's not.
I'm laughing.
Why are you laughing? Tell me.
No, that I couldn't relate more. It's beautiful. I'm going to need you to repeat it after I say this part. But this is so sick. But for some reason, like, I wasn't feeling well on Sunday, and I had to be in bed, like, all day. And it was, like, a rot situation. Like, I just could not leave my bed.
It wasn't a rot. You needed to rest.
I know.
You're a rot?
Yeah, I was rotting in my bed. It really was. Oh, my
God.
So I went into, like, full, like, rot mode, and then I watched the Gabby Petito documentary.
We finished it last night.
Amazing. So you know the part.
Crazy.
It's, like, I know, not related at all to what you're saying, but you know the part. This is terrible. It's a terrible story. But when they like are leaving for their road trip to mm-hmm. go their initial, like they're to move to Florida.
Yes.
And they're in the car and she's like, you know, it's just so amazing. Like they have no responsibilities.
Yep.
We have no responsibilities. Yep. I know how this story ends. I know this isn't like a romantic comedy. I know this is a real story. So it's like not funny to joke about.
Yeah. It's
and
horrible.
I'm not joking about it.
Yeah. We're being respectful.
Like, being respectful, like two truths, no lies. Knowing what this documentary is about, I sat there and I had a split second of envy for this young girl who was driving in the car with no responsibility.
It's the no responsibilities.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know the last time I felt that way. Meanwhile, like, again, pack your bags, right?
Pack
like,
your
I'm
bags.
Not, yeah. I'm, comparison is a thief of joy. I am yes. by no means trying to trade places in that moment. However, it did make me think, like, when was the last time I sat in a car and I didn't feel any sense of, like, we had nowhere to be. I had nowhere obligations. Like, I don't know. And I honestly don't know the next time I will. Because,
yeah.
Just the phase of life we're in, it will probably be empty nesters and I'm retired.
Right.
Like, that will probably be the next time.
Yeah. Yeah. And even or then, an there's nester. Things that, right, that we don't even
right.
know.
100%.
It's the same concept that and the same feeling that I felt as I was driving through. I was like, oh, you get to go do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, again, pack your bags. But it made pack me reflect back to, you know, that time when the responsibility landscape just looked and felt a little bit different.
Yeah, like the biggest thing that you have at that moment, and stress is stress, pressure is pressure, responsibilities are responsibilities. But even being in your young 20s, the weight that is on you is like, what am I going to do once I graduate or I have this big thesis paper? It's like, it's different and you still yeah. feel stressed in those moments. But it would be, you know, it's okay to grieve. Is that terrible?
Wait. No. I have to tell you a little quick carve out space moment.
Yeah.
So we, and you know, like I am kaput at the end of the day. Like come 10 o'clock, put me to bed. But last night we had like 40 minutes left in the last episode of the Gabby Petito, and Ryan and I were like, all right, let's just do it, because it's so good, like you just want to finish it. And I do remember as the story was unfolding in the news how terrible it was back in 2021, I was like, this is going to be a documentary and I want to see it, like I true crime, sign me up. But we finished it at like 11 p.m. last night, and I needed something happy to watch before I went to bed. So I'm in bed with the iPad, and I put my phone away in bed. I do not look my phone, but I needed something. And I was like, what would Mel tell me to watch right now? And I pulled up and watched the whole thing of Jimmy Fallon and Bradley Cooper getting the giggles. And I was
with the wigs.
Snotting
with the wigs. It is honestly one of the most attractive versions of Bradley Cooper is when he is giggling like a little boy.
His and
like
cackle. Can't stop.
When
his
he gets cackle. Up from the chair and like walks across the studio.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite part. I'm like, that is incredible. But when we were just kind of having a giggle fit before, it reminded me of that. And it was so funny.
So with the one, there's the one with the wigs, and then there's It Happens Again.
No.
Yeah, when he's promoting the Elephant Man.
Wait, that's the one I saw.
Oh, is that the one? Or maybe they brought the wigs back out for that one. Oh. Okay, so that's the one. And he's like, no. It's a terrible story.
It's like a really awful story. He can't use his left arm. He had a horrible
life. It's not funny. That was literally just us.
Yeah, and it's right. Like, and that's why at the end of this, I'm like, I can't wait to tell Mel.
Oh, my God.
This is what I watched. So thank you for that. Yeah, we need
really needed that.
I love when you laugh so hard with someone. There are people like you just can't sit next to at a function because you just lose it.
No.
I'll save a story for another time. It's not appropriate.
Okay, perfect.
It's really funny.
Okay, we'll save it for another time. All right, I'll make mine really quick. So my two truths and lies today is you can prioritize yourself and others at the same time. So I think there's this problematic narrative, and we've talked about this with self-care and everything else, especially with being a mom, you know, motherhood is not martyrdom, this whole idea of being completely selfless all the time. The opposite of that is, or I guess that implies that prioritizing yourself and your own needs is then selfish, right? Mm-hmm. So one big thing about becoming a mom for me and just in general and like kind of rising above my people pleasing nature and everything like that is really trying to establish like hard set boundaries. And even when it's hard to do and it doesn't feel good, understanding that like prioritizing yourself and what your needs are in that moment or even your anticipated needs down the line is quite literally the opposite of selfish, because everyone around you is going to feel that impact if you don't do that, right? And it's important to think about when you're releasing those boundaries and when you're deciding to essentially cave, when you know that's really not what you need to be doing in that moment, it's usually not going to end up in a great situation for anyone, right?
No one wins.
No one wins in that situation.
Yeah.
And it looks different for everyone. It's, you know, different for each situation. But I think specifically when you're going through really big transitions and you know that it's going to be a lot and it's something you haven't done before, so you can't predict how you or your partner are going to feel or be or act or partner together. Like, it's all just such a new territory. And even if you are going from 0 to 1 or 1 to 2, like that's a huge transition too. Being really mindful, if you have this sense or this urge that like, I don't think I should commit to that, or like, I don't think it's a good idea for someone to come over X days once we get home, like, listen to that voice, because the absolute worst that happens is you get to that day and you realize, like, oh, you know what? I probably could have done that today, but like, at least I don't have the pressure, right?
Yep.
I also want to carve out space and acknowledge I do not suffer from FOMO. It is not something I suffer from. I'm, if anything, on the opposite. I'm like a JOMO girl. Like, I can be really rooted in a boundary. It doesn't feel good at the time, but like once I've established it, like I was thinking about this before we started recording today. I really think that I could see that every person I know and love could be at a party together. And if I'm at home and made an active choice for some reason not to be there, I can say pretty confidently, I would just genuinely feel happy for them and be like, oh my gosh, that's so nice. And also be totally fine that I'm not there. Like, and I'm not saying that in any other way than like understanding that I know that's not where a lot of people enter.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The boundary is hard for me on the front end, but not hard for me on the other end. I'm very rarely going to be like, I regret not doing that.
Yeah.
But bringing it back to the point, you can prioritize yourself and others at the same time. So by protecting that boundary and prioritizing yourself and doing what's best for you, you are in turn prioritizing your family, prioritizing your partner, your child, your mother, your in-laws, whatever it might be in that moment, your friends.
So beautiful. I think this entire episode of the fourth trimester really sits on those, both of those two truths, no lies. You have permission to grieve the old and befriend the new at the same damn time. And two truths, no lies, you can take care of someone else and yourself at the same time.
Period.
That's
and thank
what
you
the
for repeating yours. Because
yeah, that's they're beautifully braided, especially mm-hmm. when we're conceptualizing and talking about the fourth trimester, which yeah. starts the second your baby comes out. So thank you for sharing all of that. And that quick anecdote just makes you such a beautiful person of just like knowing that other people are together and happy. I just, you're so cute.
No, I like truly, I would just be so happy for them. And also just I'd bring my blanket a little bit tighter up to my chin and fall fast asleep.
Yeah, I also have JOMO instead of FOMO most of the time. But story for another day.
100%.
Yes.
Okay. Should we dive right in?
Because it's a big trimester. One. This is a big one. I feel like we just primed it beautifully, at least from like a conceptual standpoint and a theme standpoint. And we're just going to get granular throughout.
Let's do it.
Acknowledgement. We have to start there. I know that our last episode was heavily rooted in labor and delivery from a traditional standpoint, meaning that the delivery was pushing out a baby. So we ultimately also just want to make sure that all of the mamas and partners that are C-section parents and however your baby comes out, we see you. Mm-hmm. Our experience is rooted in pushing a baby out of our coochie.
You're uncomfortable. vaginal deliveries.
Thank you. As I say, coochaloo. Yeah, vaginal delivery, as Mel said. So again, we just want to carve out space always. You know, we see you however your baby comes out. Also, we want to carve out space. This episode, as it relates to the fourth trimester, is really two-prong. It's if you plan on going through this yourself or if you, you know, are supporting someone and love somebody who is also about to go through the fourth trimester, how you can best support them too. Right, Mel?
Exactly. I think it's a huge component of it because not knowing how to support someone when they're going through something is truly like one of the hardest journeys to navigate as a friend or a family member. It's just someone who loves someone else, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's your partner and you want to understand how to support them as you both enter this journey, or it's a friend or a sister or whomever it might be, pretty much all of this can apply from that lens as well.
Yeah. And it goes without saying, we always say on the MTake, meet people where they are. Everyone's experience is so different. Mm-hmm. So because of that, like what worked for you in the fourth trimester might not work for your best friend or your sister or your sister-in-law. So I think remaining compassionately curious as it relates to what people need is a huge theme that you're also going to hear throughout this too.
I love that. Compassionately curious. Yep, exactly.
Love it. Love it. let's wrap up some of the Instagram data that we got, just because I want to share some other must-haves for labor and delivery that we received post our episode on that. So other must-haves, people said a huge, big water bottle.
Yes.
You're so thirsty.
So thirsty. That's a great one. Something that's nice and insulated, so it's even cold.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, take a sip of that water, girlfriend.
Literally.
an extra long phone charger. That was also a really good one. And on Ryan's list for sure, too. And then two other ones, blankets and pillows. Stay cozy. Mm-hmm. And then last, someone had recommended slippers for your feet.
Great. Love all of those. All amazing. Great, great, great ones.
Anything else? Or I think that covered it.
I think that covered it. Just like a random little thing. I was looking back at my hospital packing bag list after we did this. And what was weird is like it kind of felt like a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah.
I had on my list an iPad. Okay, like iPad to bring with us.
Okay.
Mike and I did not have an iPad then. Mm-hmm. To the point where I said to Mike, when did we get our iPad? Because it was probably when my daughter was a couple months old, we got the iPad because she moved into her own room. And we're like, we don't need to be using our phone for the Nana. Like, we could just get a little iPad and use that.
Right.
Oh. And he's like, yeah, so we corroborated that. Like, we did not have an iPad. It was on my packing list. It was checked off. But I did not own an iPad at that point in time.
That's really funny.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, there's a glitch.
Yeah, but if you do have an iPad, like something that, depending on your situation, if you're going to be there long beforehand or afterwards, just something that you guys can prop up and watch something on, that would probably be more so for the beginning. But yeah.
Love it.
I think that would be a good one. If you have one. Love it.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Great call out. Okay. So I think it would behoove us to start this conversation, because where we ended the last one as it related to like baby is born. Like,
yes.
One thing, and we spoke offline about this, that I really wanted to make sure we mentioned. Mm-hmm. If you are pushing out your baby, it feels like, in my experience, the biggest poop of your life.
Correct.
And I wish someone told me that. Mm-hmm. So that's our job right now, to just make it very crystal clear. Lots of pressure. Well, it's insane.
One universal truth. We've all taken poops. We have. And that is what it feels like when the baby is about to exit. I don't know if you told me this or who told me this. It may have been during my birthing class, but I was very aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I literally said out loud right before it was time to really start pushing, because that's when you know that it's time to start pushing, because you feel like that's happening.
Yeah.
I remember saying, oh, I think this is what they were talking about, because I really feel like I have to go to the bathroom right now. And I think I'm ready to start pushing. And they checked and they're like, you're right. So just having that visual, and then throughout pushing, if you kind of lose the plot on how you should be breathing and how you should be pushing, one thing to really remember is it's a poop push.
Yes, it's a poop push.
Just remember that. Just remember that in that moment. If your breathing gets off or whatever, just remember it is like you are trying to push out a poop. And then when you use your muscles and your body and your breathing in that way, at least in my experience, the doctor would be like, there you go.
Yep.
Like that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So,
just remember that.
Just remember that.
It's really easy to remember.
I love it. And you can, if you want, you could practice, because everyone goes to the bathroom.
There you go.
So if you're hoping to practice those poop pushes, you'll have opportunities.
You
if
sure
that'll
will.
Help.
You sure will. We love that. Plenty of practice opportunities.
And you might go to the bathroom while you're pushing out your baby. That's normal. The nurses have seen it before. You're not the first one, I promise.
Not the first one. I don't think I did.
I can't remember, which is crazy.
I remember asking, and I was told I didn't, but it could have just been being nice.
Yeah. We're going to move on. I'll show my, like, four-year-old potty talk self too much, and that's embarrassing. Okay, so the baby is here. The baby comes out. You wait for that cry, which did it feel like a long time to you?
I actually didn't know she came yet because my eyes were closed and I was just pushing. And then Mike was like, open your eyes, open your eyes. And I was like, no, because I was afraid I was going to see something. And because they kept saying, like, her head, I was like, no, I can't, I can't. It made me, like, nauseous thinking about it. And then he was like, open your eyes, open your eyes. I was like, I don't want to. And he's like, she's here. And I opened my eyes.
She's out.
Just, like, right in front of me. And then she started crying.
What is she wearing?
Yeah, what is she wearing? Exactly.
And then did they put her right on you?
Yes. I believe then, they put her right on me. That's exactly right. Yeah.
They like plop the baby right on top of you, covered in all of the delicious mush and, you know, and it's just such a surreal moment. I get emotional thinking about it. And I remember Ryan and I were just like, oh my God, like this is our kid. And from there, it's a true out of body experience.
Totally.
Like I have such goosies just talking about it. And, you know, you head into what is referred to as the golden hour, which I didn't know about until I took some birthing labor and delivery classes, where the hour after the baby comes out, like really leaning on like skin to skin for you and also for your partner, it boosts the hormones in them, which is they sync up. They're like iPhones syncing up, which is so crazy. So just something to keep in mind if that's important to you. But it really, I think, ignites a bonding process with them being on the outside, whereas for the past 9 to 10 months, you've just been used to them on the inside, which is exactly. So crazy to talk about, too.
So crazy. It's so important if that's your journey. And it's a lot. And like we talked about the first time, it could be anticlimactic almost because it's a lot in different in ways that at least I didn't know it would be a lot, if that makes sense. Yes. And then everyone just kind of leaves.
Yeah.
And then you're just there with your baby and you're like, whoa, what's going on? And again, carving out space, this is for things go the way that you planned and everyone's healthy and it's a typical delivery.
Of course.
But yeah, it's the three of you in the room and you're like, whoa, especially the first time parent, you're like, this is our baby.
Yeah, this is insane. Like, and of course, like the doctors and the nurses, they clean the baby quickly, wrap them up in the little swaddle,
weigh them,
put some stuff in their eyes, and then they're just like in the deepest, most incredible sleep of their life. And like you said, they all leave, they being the nurses and the doctors, and it's just you guys. And in a split second, notwithstanding the past probably 48 hours of like feeling pre-labor and labor and just going through a lot, then all of a sudden you're mom and dad like that. It's insane.
It's crazy.
It really, really is. We were very protective, and we had talked about this before baby was born, both of our babes, but we were very protective about phones and outreaches during that time, like the golden hour time, because we, of course, wanted to acknowledge to our family and, you know, really just our family that, like, I was healthy, baby was here, baby was healthy, and, you know, we're soaking it all in and we'll FaceTime you in the next, you know, 1 to 2 hours, and then, like, drew the boundary and let it stay there, which I think was really, really helpful for us. I know everybody is different, but that's the way we approached it.
Yeah, I think it really just comes back to boundaries, and everyone has different dynamics they're playing to, and everyone has different relationships that they have to navigate, just being really rooted in. It's one of your first opportunities to really team together. Yeah. And while something might be really important to you as mom or really important to dad, it's really important that you both align on what's best for you and your family. Everyone has a different family system at play, family dynamic at play, and it's important to stay rooted in what's best for the family and who and how they want to be supported. Mike and I have always been really clear on that. And like we talked about in the boundaries episode, we are really fortunate because we have two families that are like wildly respective of boundaries. Yeah. And we really don't need to be super sturdy and super like headstrong on boundaries because they meet us where we are at all times, which is so amazing. I know you and Ryan like even were really communicative with your families prior because it was COVID and trying to understand like what everything was going to look like. And, you know, no matter what your family dynamic is, like, if that is what is best for your family and making sure everyone is on the same page, then, like, you put it in a text, you put it in an email, you do what you need to do to ensure that when that time comes, you can remain sturdy and, like, nope, this is what we said. We're not leaving that up for interpretation. And this is what's important to us.
Yeah, it's such an important PSA to talk about ahead of time and think about the items that you might need to communicate ahead of time and while it's playing out too. Yeah. So that was just, I didn't want people to think once the baby was born, they were going to get a FaceTime and find out the name right then and there. Like, we'll say that we're healthy and we're good and we'll FaceTime you in 1 to 2 hours when we're ready.
Exactly.
And draw That's the boundary great. There.
That's great. And the last thing on the phones too, even jumping ahead a little bit, but when you're in the fourth trimester in general, that first week or so, people are going to be inundating you with text messages and phone calls and checking in, send pictures, send this. And I remember feeling so inundated because whether it was group text messages or individual text messages, hi, how are you? I haven't heard from you. Is everything okay? Just like hundreds of unread text messages and you're exhausted and you haven't slept. It's like even just hard to text and like read and maneuver everything. And it wasn't until you texted me and one of the first things you said is, number one, do not respond. There's no need to respond. And text messages can be really, really overwhelming. So do not feel pressure to answer people. They will get an update from you when they get an update from you.
That's it.
And if there's anyone that is like warranted an update, whomever it might be, Mike can always text them or a partner can always text them. So don't put too much pressure on yourself. This is one of the only times that you're going to get as a family just to kind of be in this bubble and take care of yourselves and really prioritize doing that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that. And of course, perspective, empathy moment on the other side. People are caring for you, whether it's a friend or your family. I can't imagine one day when like our kids are having babies. So like empathy moment for the mothers and the dads and the in-laws and all of that. And they just want to know because they care. We see that. And this is our opportunity to make it so visible and meet people really where they are. And in this process, who is the main character? Right? That's such like a good reframe. Like the the new mom, the new dad or the new partner and the baby. They are the main characters in the story. And to prioritize that, that allows you to draw boundaries and communicate as you see fit. So meet yourselves where they are.
Period.
Let's move into postpartum care.
Yes.
Because quickly you are moved from the room that you delivered in, however that looked like, whether that was C-section or, you know, vaginal delivery, to the postpartum room, the mommy and baby room. And I think the biggest thing I want to chat with you about is protecting your light, as you gave us that beautiful language last week, and protecting your energy and your heart. It is a hormonal roller coaster, quite literally. Like your placenta comes out. I know we're like went backwards for a second, but like the second like baby comes out, placenta comes out, you don't even really know that that's happening, or I didn't really know that that was happening. But that ignites the next phase of the hormonal roller coaster. And I just remember like crying over, I didn't even know what. I wasn't even sad. I was just crying.
I don't honestly even remember
really
that part. I remember there being times where I was wildly overwhelmed. And I remember Mike was not feeling well. And because we were there for so long and he's not sleeping on a bed, like he was just getting worse and getting a cold. And, you know, you get nervous about the baby's immune system and whatnot. So, like, when he was sleeping, I didn't want to wake him up because he wasn't feeling well. Because there, the first night, like, the baby will sleep, right? And you're like,
that's where it comes from.
And you're like, oh, this is amazing. And then the second night they wake up. And it's notorious. The second night is a lot.
Yeah.
That's also when my adrenaline is like somewhat coming down. Mm-hmm. And I also haven't really slept. I remember the nurse coming in at one point and her being like, are you okay? And me just losing it. And like, no, I haven't slept and I don't feel good. And her being like, let me take the baby and why don't you just sleep? And probably 2 or 3 hours later, them coming in, it was morning time by then with the baby. They're like, are you feeling better? But it's true. Like, your hormones are just all over the place. Yeah. And you're sleep deprived. Like, you're just set up for a hormonal, emotional train wreck.
Like, yeah. Oh, train. Like, again, things in your control versus things out of your control. The hormonal piece is completely out of your control. And then slapped with a huge transition of not being a parent to being a parent if you're a first-time parent. And it's quite existential. You realize, like, oh, I'm in charge of you. Like, you're coughing up amniotic fluid. It's my job to, like, suction it out. Yep. They give you the little suction bulb. And then all of a sudden you realize, like, okay, I'm exhausted from the past, however long it was. But then looking forward, like, you have a lifetime ahead of you. And you're learning so, so much. So always reminder to give yourself some grace, but that part was overwhelming.
You also have a lot of people coming in the room all the time, and it can be quite overwhelming when they might not be delivering the same messaging. When you have lactation consultants coming in the room every day, and again, like, if you're, I thought that everyone had to stay at least 2 nights after the baby. Like, I thought that was like a 2 sleeping nights, and then you say, but like, I don't know if that actually is the general rule, because I've known friends to leave sooner than that. My personal opinion, again, just birded in, the hospital is like the cheapest night nurse you can ever get. So like, everyone has different dynamics and what they want, and but like, being in the hospital for that second night's sleep for the baby, if you are able to do that, I like recommend it, right? Because you might still be like on cloud nine, not really sure what's going on before then.
Yeah.
And then getting home for that, I just couldn't imagine of being in that state and being home for the first time with the baby.
Yeah.
So there's that. But then also getting back to the people coming into the room, depending how long you're there for, you could see one lactation consultant, you could see 5 lactation consultants. Yeah. And having different nurses and lactation consultants and pediatricians and different people coming in each day can be really overwhelming, because you can feel from one person that you're doing great and then keep doing that. And then 12 hours later, someone else comes and is like, what do you mean? They're not getting any milk. This is what they have to do. Their weight has changed and this and that. And like, it's just, as a first time parent, it's really, really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because you're learning a new skill and you're vulnerable in that moment to like, these are the experts, right?
Yeah, it doesn't enable you to trust your gut if you're getting conflicting messages from experts.
Right.
And that's what makes it hard. And that's why I always also lean on like the knowledge is power before. So when you're in it, you're like, okay, I remember this. Or I remember someone saying this. Does this feel right? So knowledge is power. Bring it back to your own body, I think, during that time before we transition to then leaving the hospital. But when you're in the postpartum care, and again, you had just given birth within 24 hours, let's just state that, you pee for the first time, you poop for the first time, and it doesn't feel good. There's a lot coming out of you still, and it doesn't feel good. So just like a reminder to that too. But the nurses are so amazing, and they hook you up with the goods that you need, witch hazel pads, there's hemorrhoid cream, extra large pads, because you're bleeding a lot, no matter if you had a C-section or a vaginal delivery. You could bleed for weeks. And at the beginning, they give you those extra large pads and they kind of hook you up with all that stuff. So it just eases a little bit of the pain that you have.
I'm actually just remembering this right now. We'll get into my birth story at a later date, but I had to go back to the labor and delivery ward after going to postpartum care. So the nurses that are in labor and delivery actually aren't trained on postpartum care. So when I was back in labor and delivery on day like 3 of postpartum, and I was still trying to understand like what pads to use in this max, I'm in a different room again and like whatnot. I remember one of the nurses being like, I'll show you what I did. And it was actually like, not only was it totally different, but like, it was actually just like 2 moms talking.
Yeah.
And she's like, I actually don't know. Like, if you can show me what they gave you in the previous rooms, I can see if I can go get more, but like, I can tell you what I did. And at the time, there was a part of me that was like, cut me a break. Like, can we just like, can you look at my notes or something?
Continuity, please.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I do think everyone has like so many different things to offer in that note, in that moment. And whether it was a different unit or just a different nurse could have been on postpartum care too. Like, I think everyone's going to find their own thing. And I see a lot of second time mom influencers or third time or sixth time mom influencers who are like, this is the exact pad that I prep prior to going to the hospital after four kids. And it's like in the freezer, like, you will find out what works best for you. Just remember, like, you're novice right now.
Yeah.
So take what they have to have them bring more and more and more. If they say, do you need more? Even if you don't, say yes, bring it home
say
with you.
Say yes.
Like, say yes. Take all that you need. And like I said on the last episode, your partner is your chief of staff. So anytime they're communicating these things to you, have your partner write it down, have your partner be in the room, have them listen to what it is so that when you're, you know, struggling a week later at home, like, they can make that for you if you need them to.
Love it. It's so important. So, so important. It's, again, one less thing to take off of your plate and put on theirs. And in the vein of that, especially because it is overwhelming to kind of keep track of everything and your baby, I mean, not an expert here, but your baby's supposed to eat every 2 to 3 hours forever, but especially in, like, you know, the newborn phase. And I remember keeping track of all of that was challenging. So we used a baby tracker app. There are so many of them. And some people don't, that like, that's not going to work for you. But I do remember having a baby tracker app to just track like how long they're feeding on the left boob versus the right boob. And I would keep track of that on the app. And then it would tell me like how many hours since the last feed, how many diapers. So that type of tracking. And again, that's something that your partner could own too. But that was really helpful to kind of navigate in the postpartum room.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. Yes. We used Huckleberry, I think. Is that the one that you used?
Yep. Huckleberry. Yeah, so
that
great.
Was great. It was
and also
so
for
great.
Sleeping too, because as they're getting older, you can track like how long they're napping for and then figure out when they need another nap or
It actually uses AI. If you do the premium version, it uses AI to like look at their sleeping patterns. And after it has X amount of weeks, first few weeks, like, you just got it. They're just going to sleep and eat. But once you get to a point where you're actually looking at wake windows, it can predict when they need to go down and when they're ready, which takes a lot of the mental load off. So.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like, wow. Beauty of AI there.
It was amazing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible. And then I think a good just like bridge before we go home and kind of dive even deeper into the fourth trimester post 48 hours after having the baby, to just think about what you might need for home. I know not everybody is as type A planning as I am, but having all of this ready was really helpful for me. This being in each bathroom, I had different size pads already. So I didn't have to think about it. It was already in there. If you have an upstairs and a downstairs, for me, using the downstairs bathroom was so much easier because I didn't feel good to go up and down the stairs.
Yes.
So just making sure that there's, you know, accessibility of all of the things that you might need. Also, if you are breastfeeding, like having nipple butter, Earth Mama nipple butter was, it was like chapstick. I had it in every pocket.
You can
use
it on your lips too, by the way.
You can. It's like very natural, coconut oil based, smells yummy. Having all of those things ready to go. So when you do get home, because you're all adjusting, it was just one less thing to think about.
Amazing. On that note, you could even do like snack baskets, because like that's not perishable. Mike made me those when we got home, but having them upstairs, like as a put, like the inverse of that. So in the middle of the night or even just during the day at any point, if we were, I really tried to nurse my daughter in our room when I could, or in her room when I could. And so there was just this basket of granola bars and this and that and like clementines and just things that were really easy and accessible. And, like, that's something you can pack ahead of time and like have ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And necessity, to be honest, like 3 a.m. if you are breastfeeding, I was ravenous all the time.
Ravenous, like, all the time.
It's insane. Way more hungry than I was pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're. There's a reason.
Cow. You're a cow.
You're a cow, literally. Cow. Yeah. Like, just remember it being like insatiable. Like, you're so thirsty. You're so hungry. Like, there's nothing like cold yogurt. I don't know. Like, just like anything like that would quench. Yes. I don't know.
Yeah. So helpful. So important. A couple other quickies.
Yes.
The perennial ice packs I was obsessed with. So they were essentially just like these long rectangular ice packs that I'd keep in the freezer. And I would just sit on them. And there's like a pad that you can put over it to wash just for cleanliness and sanitary purposes. And having a lot of comfortable underwear that you buy. What didn't you use?
Yes.
Yes.
Bodily. Could not recommend them more. It's Katherine Schwarzenegger Pratt's company. And it is, you can use them through pregnancy as well. So, mm-hmm. And I still use the underwear like now, like when I'm on my period, you know, because I am wearing the super comfy print. I like roll them down. It is the most buttery soft fabric. They're not cheap, but they're so worth it. They last so long. Like I said, I still use the underwear, but incredible products that are really breastfeeding and your body changing friendly. There's also a big thing about if you are breastfeeding, understanding the stages of breastfeeding and how to properly dress for those. It's a real thing that I did not know about until I researched via this company.
Yes.
But you're really not supposed to wear anything tight fitting to your breasts until like 3 months in.
Yep.
So, yep. And I noticed, knowing that, I was really cognizant of it, and I would wear their early stage bra, and it was so comfortable. But if I ever put like a sports bra on, like the way like my nipples and like my boobs would feel, like it really hurt. I would get clogs.
Yeah.
So it's a really real thing, and it can, anyone that's had clogged ducts or mastocytosis or anything like that knows the importance of really caring for yourself at that point, because it can be so incredibly painful and just you can get really, really sick if you're not caring for yourself in the right way at those times. So
it's debilitating.
Yeah.
Like absolutely debilitating. And I'm so glad you brought that up too, because your milk comes in no matter if you plan to breastfeed or not. Your body is going to produce milk. Mm-hmm. And that officially comes in like 1 to 3 days after giving birth.
Yeah.
So that, like, my body shook again uncontrollably. Like, I think I spiked a little fever. It was really crazy. But again, you're going through all of that while you're also transitioning to being at home for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's just another key concrete factor of the things that your body goes through, and you're learning so many new things about yourself and skills.
Yeah. I just want to double click on what you've said in the past too, in that there's like the three buckets to focus on, and really like one bucket I would highly recommend if you plan on breastfeeding, please do like some research prior, because like it can be so incredible. For some people, it comes completely naturally.
Yeah.
And for majority, just in like use case experience of like seeing my friends go through it, majority it does not. Mm-hmm. So educating yourself just to like, you don't need to be an expert on it. You're not going to be an expert on it because everyone's journey is differently, but just understanding timelines and understanding like generally what they say to do before, after, and then also taking everything with a grain of salt, because I remember even the course that you sent me, I think Milkology.
Yeah.
And doing it. And I remember texting you and being like, it's a bit, you know, and you're like, it is. It's definitely like breastfeeding forward, and but like take it with a grain of salt. Of course, a course that you're going to be learning about breastfeeding is going to be very breastfeeding forward, right? Yeah. Use it, again, take it with a grain of salt, use it to educate yourself, and then take with it what you will.
Yeah.
But I was still very overwhelmed, but I can't even imagine where I would have been if I didn't at least have those resources to go back to and information to like, you know, circle back on.
Great call out. A fed baby is best. That is all that matters. Period. That is going to be another episode in and of itself as it relates to societal pressures and, you know, all of that. We want to get a lactation consultant on too.
Yes.
So anyway, more to come around that, but great, great call out. Okay. Where do we go next? The drive home. Oh my gosh. It was like driving 20 miles. I was so anxious. I remember like getting in the car and being like, Ryan, you drive the slowest.
Was it that way both times?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it still like that?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a little better.
It's a little better.
But yeah, it's a very surreal experience, and one of those that you picture in your head before it happens, and then while it's happening, you're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Exactly. I think like what I remember being so nervous about is like there's no one prepares you for like how little they are.
They're even so an tiny.
Average baby or big baby, they're still so little. And putting them in the car seat,
oh my
and
God.
Like, you know, Mike and I beforehand, we went to this place that had like people from the hospital volunteering every other Saturday to like install your car seats and show you how to use them and make sure they're all set up. Like, adorable. And so we like had done all the research, right? Like, we knew. And like, we were putting her in, like, it's like, oh my God, can she breathe? Like, but her neck,
oh my
God, that was the part that like really, it wasn't being on the road as much as it was like, is she okay back there? Like,
yeah.
I sat with her. I like yes. next to her. I definitely yeah. did. But like, she breathing, like what's happening?
So scary that like they get tightened into the car seat. I remember the nurse, she's like, no, you gotta pull it. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm gonna squish him.
Oh my God, like, right. Yeah, because you bring the car seat in. I'm yes, like forgetting this.
I know. You don't. Well, most hospitals say leave the car seat in the car and then you go get the car seat right before you go home.
Right. Yeah. We
brought it in.
We had to bring it in because we had gone home without her already.
Right.
But yes.
Right.
Yes,
everyone's path. Yes. Yes. So yeah. different. And yeah. we're going to hear more about that. Those specifics yeah. too. But yeah, it's crazy. And then you walk out with a little potato in the car seat. It's so crazy. It's so crazy to think about.
Yeah.
You're thinking of a story that we'll have to circle back to at another time. We'll have to
circle back to this. Yeah.
But I think just double clicking on a point we brought up earlier about boundaries and communication, just want to like hone in on this. This is the time where you also need to think about, and perhaps you already did, like think about who you want to be around or don't want around when you first get home. You're learning so many new skills. So take the time to communicate with your partner. And honestly, this could be another episode in and of itself as it relates to this type of granular communication, but what feels right to you and your partner as it relates to who's going to be there when you get home or who's going to visit or how you want all of that to look. People's feels are extra activated during this time. Yours, your family, like it's a very exciting moment, but everybody is activated.
Yeah.
During that time.
It's a great way of putting it. That you're activated because you are. You're nervous, again, especially as a first-time parent. And then as a second-time parent, you're probably activated around different things. And like we talked about with transition of 1 to 2 kiddos, like thinking about your first child and how they're coping with things. So like there's no escaping that, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Bringing it back to the advice my mom gave that I gave during wedding and marriage episode, but like these are your opportunities to show and be united front and show people like how you're going to operate. So even though it might not feel good to everyone or people might not respond well to the boundaries or the expectations that you're setting, like period, like you don't need to explain that. You don't. And what's best for you and your family in that moment is really what's best for everyone.
Yep. Yep. Let them feel whatever they feel.
Let them. Truly, though, this could not be a better application of the let them theory.
Yeah,
like,
agreed.
Let them be upset that they can't come to the hospital.
Yep.
Let them be upset that they can't meet you at home that day. I think it's also important as the mom or as the birthing parent, I'm always the biggest proponent of like prioritize mom, mm-hmm. moms, like what mom mm-hmm. wants, mom gets. Like I'll preach that till the cows come home. Is that the phrase? Like, I don't know.
Moo.
This is also a big time for your partner.
Mm-hmm.
This is also their baby. Yes, you were just through a car accident, 100%. They are also bringing their baby home for the first time. They are also becoming a parent for the first time. So
I don't know why I'm getting so emotional.
Because it's beautiful.
It's important to be mindful of, even though as the mom, there might not be people that like you want to see. And I want to be very clear and not talking about my in-laws. I love my in-laws and they know that. My in-laws were in the hospital with me. My parents don't live locally. So God bless my mother-in-law. But the point is like, this might sound counterintuitive to like what I've been saying this whole time, but like, even though like, it's like, oh, like maybe I don't want someone here because, you know, whatever, at your husband's family. And one day, like your children are going to have a family, and being respectful of their experience is so incredibly important. I think the reason why I'm able to be so rooted in boundaries, and I'm able to like be very black or white about like, this is where we are, is because I have a mom that like has always given permission to not prioritize them. She always meets us where we are. She always is like, no, like you tell me when you're ready, or you know. And she, having a brother and sister-in-law that are older than me and went through these phases much sooner than I did, I've watched my mom like not want to, you know, overstep with my sister-in-law or do that. And I think that's such an honorable thing, mm-hmm. especially now being a mom and knowing like how you like your heart is bleeding for your children all the time. So to like exercise that control is just honestly very honorable. So my point is like, because she is able to do that, like, I know it likely wasn't as easy for her to be in my position. I know she had to have uncomfortable conversations and she had to really lay that down. And I empathize with that, and that she went through that. And I'm so grateful to like have a mom that has set boundaries for herself. So then now she can have compassion and empathy on the other side.
Yes, yeah, but
I also know not everyone has that situation. Yeah. So like, there might be people that like aren't your favorite people in the world, but like they're part of your family. So yeah. Like really carve out space for your partner and what they envision too for yeah. this special time. And yeah,
it's so important.
That was long-winded.
It capitalizes on the unity.
Yeah.
And this isn't a me, my, I. Mm-hmm. This is a we, us hour, as I've said before. And this is this time in the newborn bubble is the time to apply it the most.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing because you are a team. You are a team. The baby wouldn't be there without both of you. Of course.
Exactly. Have that conversation beforehand, really understand and communicate. And like, what do you want this to look like? Who do you want there? Who do you not want there? And like, if you're disagreeing, like take a minute and come back to it and try to learn to hear more and like ask them to tell you more rather than shutting down what their version of it might be.
Right. Listen to understand, not just to reply. And this is the type of problem solving that you can do together. I remember saying like, I don't want anyone there within the first hour of us being home. I just want it to be the three of us. And then we can open our doors. Right. And we got there. We eventually got there together. So to your point, like, give it a pause if it needs a pause and come back to it. But approach these conversations together, whether they're happening at 3 a.m. and you're not your best selves because you're exhausted and there's a baby crying and you're overstimulated. Approach it together despite feeling activated, because it's going to happen. So carve out the space to have the conversation and talk about the boundaries ahead of time. I think that's our biggest takeaway here.
Biggest takeaway.
Yeah. And then I think the piece that I want to kind of land on is the help and the village, especially as we're talking about like, you have to have the boundaries, but also know, two truths, no lies, those people are your village too.
Yeah.
If you are the one supporting someone who just had a baby, the help that they need is going to look very different. So I forget who it was. Maybe it was Cameron Freckled Foodie. Mm. Was it her who gave the menu of options?
Yes. Yes. Her friend texted her and was like, here's three things I can do for you, but I'm free between these hours. And
I love it. I love it, because that question of what do you need or how can I support you? Of course, so well intended. always. But the impact on the other side, when you're going through everything that we've just spent an hour talking about, can be plaguing and honestly freezing. Like, I don't know what I need. So offering it up and speaking very vulnerably about someone who definitely had postpartum anxiety without knowing it in that moment, I wanted to hold my baby. I didn't want anyone else to hold the baby. So for someone to come in and be like, oh, give me the baby so you can do whatever, that actually sparked my anxiety. I'm like, no, I don't want you to do that.
Yes.
That can be an option on a menu, right? You could give like, hey, I can order you in food today. I can come at 5 o'clock and hold the baby so you can shower. Or I can come over at 5 o'clock and do the laundry and the dishes. You choose.
Beautiful. I love that. And it's, again, it's really giving concrete examples of how people can approach these situations rather than just generally, you know, this is what mothers need. No, no, no. Every mother is different. Every family is different. These are the ways to offer your support and have them tell you what they need. And you might offer those three things. I said, today's not a great day. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to check back tomorrow, or I'm going to check back on Wednesday because that's when I have my next. Also, it's really important to realize that like what you're communicating to them is like, you're not being burdened. Like, I've carved out this time. So by saying, no problem, I have time on Wednesday at this time, so I'll hold that for now. No pressure. If I get the time back, I get the time back. Like, you're being super communicative to them. There's also meal trains, which we can dive into, but like, we do that in my neighborhood and it is incredible. It's basically you tell them when the baby's born, they're like, hey, what days, or you could do it beforehand, what days a week are good for you, what time, any preferences. They set up a whole database, it's a website, you send it around, people sign up for days. And like for literally the first like 6 weeks of my daughter's life, I had food delivered to my house 3 days a week from local friends and family, including like then they bring extra snacks and yogurt parfaits for the morning. Like, it is just... there's nothing more than you need at that point.
It's amazing. Yeah, that was like the biggest area of support that helped Ryan and I. Again, everybody is different, but the food piece and the coffee piece, like that just was an extra layer that we didn't have to think about, because a whole day could go by and you're like, wait, did I eat today? And you need to. You have to fuel yourself, as we just said. Like, you're starving.
Uber Eats, DoorDash, that's all a thing. Like, if you don't live local to your best friend or your sister, like, there's been plenty of times where, like, even at the end of the fourth trimester, you know that the baby's not sleeping. Like, I've texted the husband, like, send me the coffee order. And within 20 minutes, Uber Eats is at their doorstep.
It's amazing. And goes such a long way. And this is like a very nuanced thing as it relates to eating, but I just remember like the things that I could eat with one hand were so helpful. Someone had so sweet, like, sent us like Mexican food, and like that was a little bit tricky to eat while I was like breastfeeding or holding the baby. So like a pie of pizza was a great option. I don't know if, again, everyone is different, but those little things, I remember thinking like, oh, this makes my life so much easier.
100%. Whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Also in the vein of help/the village comes a concept that Ryan and I really prioritize in the fourth trimester, which was like a non-negotiable self TLC list per day. Something for him, something for me that we needed to make sure happened for each other. I think I mentioned this also on the initial episode, but like, I needed my BYSO shower every day. Not one that I like parked the baby in the outside. Like, I wanted to know that I had no responsibility other than to take care of myself.
Yeah.
That was important.
I mean, and I think like that is something that if you can't think of one, put that on your list. That's a really good one. I know one for me was anytime, this kind of a little hack, I don't know if I brought it up the last time. If you are nursing, like having nursing bras, and I use reusable pads, again, linked to the Bodily, like they're amazing. Anytime, like doing laundry was tough, right? So knowing that like I'm going to do my daughter's laundry because she only has so many onesies and so many burp cloths and so many things like that. So anytime I was doing a load of my daughter's laundry, I would put in my leggings that I was living in, my nursing bras, and my nursing pads.
Such a good point.
I made a goal for myself, and we would do at least one load of laundry of her laundry a day. And anything that I had dirty related to leggings, nursing bras, or like underwear was in the laundry with her stuff. And that was huge because I always knew that I had something. I had a clean bra, clean pair of underwear, clean pair of pants to wear.
Yes, great call out, and one that just makes your life so much easier.
Yeah.
I just went like in so many more places, but I don't know.
Well, maybe we can like do a double click on that, and yeah, maybe we can drop something on Instagram. We can come up with our lists and like have people let us know what theirs are too, because I think it's just so helpful for people to see, and it can spark, like it just did for you, spark different things.
Yeah, it's like a fourth trimester hack almost, for real. Like more specifically. Yeah, love that. We'll pin it. And then, you know, kind of connecting it to our two truths, no lies from earlier, you befriend your new current phase and stage and know that it won't look like this forever, this being the fourth trimester. There are so many parts of that time that are so beautiful and blissful, and it's Groundhog's Day. You do the same stinking thing over and over. And I remember like when the sun would go down, I'd be like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, the nighttime scaries.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. You may or may not feel it, but it's a thing.
It's a thing. And when they wake up at 6 a.m., it's, or like you're sitting in the chair at 6 a.m., there's something, even though you're absolutely exhausted, there would be this joy of like, I made it through the night. Even if you didn't sleep a wink, it's like, well, I can have coffee now. Yeah. Like
it's time to start the day.
It's at least the new day is starting. You know, like there's new opportunities ahead.
Yeah, it's a weird, hazy place to be.
Mm-hmm. And but it's temporary.
It's temporary. And I remember writing that on a post-it note, and I put it in our bedroom and in the bathroom. Because that is a whole ordeal too. Like going to the bathroom is like a 5 to 10 minute experience in the beginning. And I remember putting on the post-it, like, this is temporary.
This is temporary.
And you find your groove.
Yep. You sure do.
You figure it out. You figure it out. So we dropped a lot of mantras and a lot to think about.
We sure but did.
Our two truths, no lies really carries it. Like you have permission to grieve the old and befriend the new at the same time. You can take care of someone and yourself at the same time.
That's it. The fourth trimester. There's so much more to say, so much more to do. We're out of time.
We are.
But I'm so glad we at least dove a little bit into it. But you all know where to find us at the MTate Podcast. Let us know what you're taking on so we can help take it on for you. Is there anything else, Miss Michelle?
I just love you. I love our chats.
I love our chats so much. I wish we could keep going, but we're both over on time.
We got a buggy.
All right. I love you so very much.
Love you.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Give yourself
a smooch.
There it is. Mwah.
Love you so much.
Love you. Toodles.